NASA may be famous for what it does in space, but more and more of its work is moving to the cloud. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams, in for Molly Wood. A lot of NASA's work has to do with what happens here on Earth, especially as we work to track and respond to the climate crisis. And at NASA's Earth Sciences Division, much of the data collected by future missions will be stored in the cloud, hosted by Amazon. That's partly because the agency needs more, well, space. It has troves of images and readings from generations of satellites. The Earth Science Archive currently stores about 40 petabytes of data. In the next 4 years, as it launches more missions focused on the Earth and its climate, it's expected to generate more than 5 times that. For those not familiar with the petabyte, just one is enough space to store about 250,000 full-length movies. Kevin Murphy is the Chief Science Data Officer for NASA. He says it may be more expensive to store data in the cloud, but it should make the data easier to access, and for researchers, businesses, and maybe you and me, to use.
So, you know, we launch missions to address very specific science questions. So that's one type of user. But this information is freely and openly available for anybody to use to conduct citizen science activities, to help plan how we work within the environment, how we make new discoveries on Mars or from the sun. So, that information has so many other purposes that we need to make it broadly available.
Part of this is you're moving a lot of NASA's data from various physical locations that are run and controlled by NASA and universities into the cloud. Why are you doing that?
We're doing that for a variety of different reasons. One, you know, we can take advantage of new types of technologies like AI or machine learning in those environments a bit more easily. The second thing is that we can, especially with these very large amounts of data, remove some of the burden from the users of having to kind of download the information and then and kind of organize and manage it themselves. If you think about how hard it is to find, you know, photos in your photo album about specific, you know, events or activities, we can apply similar types of AI to do similarity searches for interesting events in this giant pile of data.
So I want to try to help people wrap their heads around this by having you walk me through the sort of data story of a mission. And I was looking at this specific example of the SWOT program, Surface, Water, and Ocean Topography. So can you tell me about that mission and the type and scale of data you expect it to generate?
So this is going to be one of the first missions that we have that's really able to kind of look at large rivers and lakes map those over time to see how they change. So it's going to be really important for a variety of different, you know, things that actually impact people on a pretty regular basis. And this is going to be one of the first satellite data streams that we have that are really cloud native. Mm-hmm. And this will allow people to access the multiple petabytes that it collects each year in a much more interactive way.
For people who don't necessarily spend a lot of time thinking about data and petabytes and how much NASA is collating and figuring out how to sort through, what do you think is the most important thing for them to know about the work that you do?
The most important thing to know is that these investments that we place in scientific instruments and satellites and rovers, the data that come back from there is incredibly valuable. There are things that we don't know today about the information that we collected before. And through kind of well-managed data programs, we can maintain that information for future generations to make their own discoveries.
Kevin Murphy is the Chief Science Data Officer for NASA. In fact, he's the agency's very first one, but probably not the last. And now for some related links. I asked Murphy if he was worried that by working with a private company to store data, he might also be subjecting NASA's data to their whims. For example, Amazon suspended hosting for the social network Parler earlier this year. Murphy said NASA's always dealt with private data companies, and this isn't that different, but also that the agency doesn't put all of its eggs in one basket, and backup data might be with a different vendor or stored on a NASA-owned hard drive somewhere. There's more reading on NASA's decision to move to the cloud on our website, marketplacetech.org, including a link to a chart showing just how much more data your average mission brings home nowadays compared with the past. NASA also has a pilot for a cloud computing platform called Nebula that's basically a server farm in a shipping container, so they can move the cloud around as needed. And if you want to learn more about that SWAT mission I was talking to Kevin Murphy about, we'll link to the mission page. Countdown to launch is just about a year and a month away. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.